Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Where does Deshaun Watson go after this? Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. Another lawsuit yesterday. One of them will have to be made clear as far as a name towards the defense by 4 o'clock. We're over 20 right now when it comes to lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. No criminal charges yet, although Tony Busby told the Washington Post that his clients, a few of them, are cooperating with authorities. And an investigation is taking place. What's next for Deshaun Watson? What does Deshaun Watson need to do from here? Assuming that this gets put behind him, what is when it comes to evaluating himself, maybe continuing his career, righting his wrongs, where does Deshaun go from here, Cecil?
Man, I think first things first, reevaluating his circle. Seeing who he needs to have around, who doesn't need to be around, seeing where do things escalate, where do things go wrong in this situation, looking at himself. Probably a public apology would be needed, you know, and I wouldn't have whoever wrote the last one, whoever wrote the last statement, I wouldn't have that guy involved at all. But he can definitely bounce back from this. I mean, you've seen other guys with maybe not the same issues, but other guys that had things going on off the field with women, come back and play a long time, and people will forgive over time. So I do think he can bounce back from it, but he got to do a lot of reevaluating who should be in his circle, and then reevaluating how he should move. Like, just, you know, being a young kid, feeling, you know, signing $160 million, you kind of feel invincible. Well, guess what? Now you realize you aren't. So hopefully he'll move different. Hopefully he'll take care of himself. I don't know what is going on behind closed doors with that stuff, but just not putting himself in that position and having people that surrounded him that can hold him accountable and make sure that he's moving correctly.
How does he look at his brand now? Because
that changes.
And I hate to talk about brand with the legal stuff going on, but as of right now, we have civil lawsuits. As soon as criminal lawsuits come in, it changes. Of course, obviously the first step is what exactly – is the NFL going to do about how long is he going to be suspended and who will be willing, if anyone? And I think if Deshaun Watson's eligible to play, someone's going to be willing to roll with Deshaun Watson. I feel safe in saying that. But the brand that he described in the past was he said that he wanted to be legendary. That's what Deshaun Watson said. That's an exact quote. I want to be legendary. I mean.
He still can get there.
You think?
I still think
with all this going on, you think he can just go back to business and be legendary?
Over time, if it sticks to civil, he'll be able to bounce back and rebuild his brand. He'll be able to continue to give back like he's doing in communities, continue to be the awesome person that he is in other communities, hometown here in Houston, and then continue to play well. If he goes out there, plays well, wins Super Bowls, does what he's supposed to be doing, people will move on from this and forgive him. And ultimately, maybe even forget, but it will take time, and it will take a lot of greatness, to be honest. It will take an extreme amount of greatness, in my opinion, to be able to put those things, I guess, behind them, per se. But it definitely can be rebuilt. Now, will it be rebuilt as far as, because mentally, I'm more concerned about him mentally. How is he taking this? How is he at home right now? How can he play well? Will he be able to have trust from his teammates? Will he be the same Deshaun? I don't know if he'll be the same Deshaun that he was beforehand. Will he be as confident? Will he be the same guy mentally prepared each and every Sunday? Will he have flashbacks and worries? What will go on? Will he be the same guy on the field?
I mean, if you look at Deshaun in the past, and what he's been used to, I would say since he went to Clemson, his approval rating is as high as any quarterback's in the league. He was almost looked at as like a victim of a bad organization, to where there was like some glorious endearment among fans when they would watch him go out there and play, and it just felt like he didn't have enough help around him, especially when he would go against like the Mahomeses or the Lamar Jacksons. There seemed to be that notion. Opposing fans are probably going to be pretty relentless to him. Not all of them, but some of them are going to be relentless to him. I don't know how he's handling it. We heard one of the associates with Rusty Harden say, you know, he's had trouble eating and sleeping. I just don't know when that ends if you're Deshaun Watson. Because I think even in this situation for Deshaun Watson, even if he did do, let's pretend here for a second. Let's pretend Deshaun Watson did the bare minimum. Let's just say Deshaun Watson did the bare minimum and what Rusty Harden is saying is true. And again, this is just for the sake of conversation, that any sexual encounter, which is what Rusty Harden has said, was consensual. And Deshaun Watson, this is not weird. It was just Instagram, and one thing led to another, and that's why we're in this situation. And Tony Busby is playing it up in the public. Let's just pretend that that's true. Even if that is true, You still have to be somewhat embarrassed if you're Deshaun Watson and you had the image that Deshaun Watson has had, because Deshaun Watson was the guy who was giving his check to cafeteria workers. Deshaun Watson is the guy who you looked at as like the model face of a franchise. Deshaun Watson now, at the very least, if what he's saying is true, he has to talk to his mom about this type of situation. His mom, who he's introduced his girlfriend to and everything like that, like, he's basically having to explain to his mom now, yeah, I was getting massages. And again, this is assuming that what he's saying is true. I was getting massages. Yeah, we spent the holidays together with my girl and stuff. But while that was going on, I was having sexual interaction with a bunch of massage therapists. It was consensual, though, but that's just what it is. That just seems like that would be weird mentally, regardless of what happened.
True. Mentally is going to be a struggle. And I agree. That mom conversation going to be interesting. That's family.
I mean,
girlfriend, like that.
It's
that
even awkward. I mean, it was awkward in high school when mom would knock on the door and say, why is the door closed? And she's in there with you watching a movie.
Yeah.
Like that was awkward that was awkward as enough as it is. He's now. And I think the one thing about Deshaun Watson that I always found endearing was the relationship with his mom.
Right.
And there was just a lot of purity there, and buying her the car, the cancer, the struggle, all that type of stuff. Even if it's not the worst case scenario that Tony Busby's presenting, I mean that's a weird situation to be in.
It's tough, and again, the longer this case goes on, the more stuff's going to come out. But I look at what my man Will Hobson came on from the Washington Post a couple segments ago and said Michael Vick was able to come back and rebuild his brand, and he spent 2.5 years in prison.
Yeah.
Now he dealt with some things. I mean, it was outside of stadiums. There were protests and there were signs up and everything going on. But he was able to not only come back and play well, but he able to get $100 million contract, get all his endorsements back, and now he's on TV on Fox doing a decent job, talking football. So I think there's ways to get back. It's just going to take time.
But the difference between Vic and Watson, and it is good that Deshaun, assuming that he wants to that he's going to start getting on the right track, regardless of what did or didn't happen, that he has Mike Vic as like a mentor. But I think the difference between Vic and Deshaun is that Vic always, even before that, he wasn't like, I mean, he didn't have a reputation as a dog killer, but he was kind of like that
different
YOLO type of brand. Like, no, I don't want to say rebellious, but it was much different.
What is
it
clean
was
more, cut?
Yeah. Vic was basically like a guy who was like, he was like a pioneer. Like Michael Vick was like one of those like pioneers, kind of rebellious, not your traditional type of quarterback. It was more brash. Deshaun was like this, the way that we looked at him before this, and I think the damage is done to the reputation as we sit right now, regardless of what happens in court and regardless of what continues to happen in the process. Deshaun has been that guy that, oh my gosh, this guy is such a good dude. This is like the wholesome guy. This is the Deshaun Watson, the legendary type. It just seemed like the brand was a little bit different with Deshaun Watson, to where Michael Vick could rally himself and gas himself up, to where it just seemed like a different branding from these two.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that. Even looking at Big Ben's situation, he was kind of known to, he wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't known to be like a Deshaun Watson, right? But he was forgiven. His brand was brought back. He was able to continue to win, won the Super Bowl, whatever case may be. Look at Brett Favre, all the stuff he was done. So I think that even though his brand is more clean cut, more, I want to say he was perfect, but he was looked upon as like, this guy is amazing, right? And it might be hard to get back to that level. He still can rebrand himself to a way, especially in today's society with social media and everything, he'll still be able to rebrand himself and get back close to where he was.
Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. And that's assuming that he does settle these things. The worst case scenario is Deshaun Watson never plays football again. And this stuff, as it continues to evolve, we don't hear from Deshaun Watson. So that's the worst case scenario for Deshaun Watson, but it will play out. The one thing that we agree on, and the one thing it seems like Tony Busby agrees on, is there does need to be a change in camp. Specifically, the athletes first, a couple of those representatives. Brian Burney has kind of handled things roughly in this whole thing. I know he gave the sworn affidavit to Rusty Hart, and he had to unlike some tweets last week, basically victim shaming, as well as throwing out conspiracy theories about the Texans as the process has played out. You've seen some of the email exchanges. I thought this was interesting. I came across this. This is Brian Burney of Athletes First. He was on the KB experiment at King Boris, King_Boris's podcast. And keep in mind, this is a business manager of Deshaun Watson. When you talk about enabling and you talk about athletes getting taken advantage of, it can happen in many ways, including with your own camp. I heard this, and what we already knew about Brian Burney, it became even more clear. This guy might need to be someone that Deshaun Watson distances himself from after this trial concludes.
Now we're sitting here with Brian, who's Deshaun's marketing manager, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. Brian also has a his story is great. He's in the trenches as well, like that real grinding, like the rat race, really grind. Brian, introduce yourself, what you do, how you
start. What do? I don't even know what I do.
Where you started? Where
the lines have been so blurred.
Well, I just do.
People come to me like, oh, you do Deshaun's marketing, and I'm like, yeah. And like, oh, so what do you guys got going on? And sometimes I forget about the millions of dollars in endorsement deals, and I start talking about, oh, partnering with Saudi, and we're doing this, we're doing that. And they're like, you do marketing? And I'm like, wow, kind of PR, kind of business relations, kind of be his best friend, a bit of everything. So I've kind of blurred the marketing manager role pretty heavily.
He doesn't even know what he does.
That's a joke, man.
And what is a best friend? What has best friend got to do in blurring the marketing line? You look at the way that this has been handled. The camp needs to change for Deshaun Watson. I think the mindset's got to change. I actually think the mindset started changing this year for Deshaun, and we had this discussion before. It did seem like he became a little bit more materialistic. Some of the stuff he was saying, I know we had an argument on the show about it, separating himself from people who are in the 9-to-5, like he was sharing posts like that. That just didn't seem like the guy that I followed since he was at Clemson to now. There did seem to be a little bit of Hollywood in Deshaun Watson that I hadn't seen before he signed that deal. That was just me. And that's not hindsight. It would be chicken bleep for it to be hindsight. We had these discussions before this was even going on.
Right. And to be honest, I think that's fair. Like he did, I won't say change, but some stuff did start coming out a little more once he signed that big contract, once he started really setting himself up for his future. So for me, but I don't look at it as a bad thing for him per se. But I don't like how his camp moves around him. I just don't like how people that he put in place or he met over time and around him, how they're thinking and how they're moving. It's just not smart to me. I mean, just looking at some of the emails from the Athletes First situation, it was careless. Like they felt like they were bigger than the situation. They felt like they're bigger than life almost. Like, oh, don't worry about it. We're going to teach them a lesson. So, like, it's just stuff that wasn't smart and what shouldn't have been said. And they're not moving correctly. Even certain certain people he has in this corner are tweeting things. Why are you liking tweets? In this situation, why are you even on social media? Why are you liking the tweets that a former player is saying? That's his opinion, that he can have his opinion, but why are you on there liking it? And you're in his camp, and you're deep in his camp. Like, you shouldn't even be...
And you have a statement on the trial.
Like, you shouldn't even be putting anything out there right now.
Well, that's why he
just
unliked
it. Just be quiet and let Harden do what he does.
He unliked it. Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig holding it down. Coming up, what's next for the Houston Texans? And what the heck is up with this David Culley guy? I need Cecil to do some explaining next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez right here on Sports Radio 610. Oh, what's up with this David Culley guy? Haven't gotten to talk to you about it. Not the name that many anticipated. And by many, you can take away the M that any anticipated. As the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Not going to say that he quite wins the press conference. Seems like a swell guy. Seems like a nice guy. Seems to be what I hear the most. Never a coordinator. Some questionable stints as a position coach, notably quarterback coach in Buffalo. Receiver coach in Kansas City didn't go too great. Passing game coordinator in Baltimore last year, one of the worst pass games in the NFL. Sell me, Cecil, because I know you are a spy sent by Jack.
Here you go.
For the show.
Here you go, Figgy, go.
I need you to sell me on David Culley, please.
That's a hard sell because his resume speaks for himself. You know what I mean? When you've been around that long, I think he's well respected as a coach in the league. You don't last that long if you aren't. You know what I mean? I think you don't last that long if you aren't good at what you do. He was a quarterback coach at one time, like you mentioned, with Buffalo. He was the passing game corner with Baltimore. Numbers of years as a receiver coach in a number of different places, Philly. He had T.O. I mean, come on. Handling T.O. and be able to teach T.O. and the T.O. is already good. But be able to coach T.O. and that's a big deal. And get the production out of him and those guys there, that's a big deal. But the jury is still out because he's never even been in a major position as an NFL coach, as the coordinator, offense or defense, or even special teams, or the head coach. So it's hard for me to sell him to you, Landry, and I don't know much about him. I know this as much as everybody else on listening knows. You know what I mean? So it's tough. I think he's an awesome guy. I'm rooting for him. I want him to do well.
He's a nice guy.
But that's all I can say. Like,
He seemed like a nice guy, but...
Listening to his interviews, it's like he flexibility with the offense. I haven't heard that word when used with offenses, so it's just different. I'm not sure he will be the guy here very long. He's just kind of holding the seat hot, in my opinion. But hey, if he is can make these guys play well, all for him. It's just to me, I think he might have a hard time trying to how do I want to put this. Rile up the guys.
You're struggling, but you're trying, Cecil.
Guys. I just don't know if he can be that guy, but the jury's out, so we'll see. I'm hoping for the best, but we'll see.
If we got to go three and out and punt it, we're good.
Trying to sell David Culley, I've tried to do it to myself just to try to see
how
and understand. Well, the way that I've tried to sell David Culley and make sense of it, I can't do it with Lovie Smith. That makes no sense. I think Lovie Smith being here is an absolute disgrace, honestly. I think the game's passed him by, and I think that's foolish at best, the Lovie Smith experiment. And I'm sorry, John McClain. I know you guys might have a bingo night or something like that and talk about the old days, but you can't sell me on Lovie Smith. Maybe for this situation and the situation that Nick Caserio inherited, where, let's be honest, winning is not the main goal for the Texans right now. Like, we consider and we can say building the Texans and we can hype it up. It's not the main goal. They are rebuilding the squad. It is a total rebuild, and it's a tough rebuild because you don't have the draft equity.
Right.
Maybe because of that situation and because of David Culley's mannerisms, maybe because of the situation, that's why David Culley makes sense. Maybe it has more to do with fit. We always hear about fit. If you're bringing in an alpha male that is either getting his last opportunity, like a Leslie Frazier, he doesn't want to come here and rebuild. Like, if he's going to get another chance, that's not what he wants. If you're bringing in Eric Bieniemy or something like that, or some of the other guys they interviewed, Eric Bieniemy doesn't want his first opportunity, or Joe Brady doesn't want his first opportunity, or you don't want their first opportunity to be them coming in here with the rebuild unless you're going to be extremely patient. So maybe because of that, because David Culley wasn't going to get any other offers, because now maybe the GM, Nick Caserio, can have more of a hand in things, and because David Culley's not really going to push back much, maybe David Culley's just the right guy for this situation. I'm trying to see some sort of situation where this does make sense. That's the only thing I can think of. Maybe for this situation, David Culley is okay.
So you're okay. I mean, I understand it's a rebuild, but you'd never want to go a year where you're struggling, or go to a year where you're not trying to win, right? To me, Lovie Smith makes more sense as a head coach than Dave Culley, because he's been there. He's done that. Even though he may be outdated, he's been a head coach for numerous years. He's been the coordinator for numerous years.
I would rather have I don't know.
I'd rather have a guy that had experience and that has success than a guy that has never done it and is older and is aging out of the league. So for me, it's like it makes more sense to me that Lovie would be the guy than Dave Culley.
There's a lot of coaches who don't have experience that as soon as they get that experience, they take advantage of it. At some point, you got to get the experience.
But Dave's not in the position that he'll take it in.
Yeah, he's not Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan.
Like, he's, you know what I mean? He's never been the guru or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Not a very good sales job by Cecil Shorts. Yeah, you might get a talking to by the spies that sent you here to spy on myself and Figgy. You might,
Texans Radio.
I'm getting in trouble there, Cecil.
ain't nobody spying, man.
713-572-4610. Kenny, you're on In the Loop with Landry Locker and Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. What's up, Kenny? I like your safe driving the blinker, but what do you got? Not ready to go. Choke job. Got the blinker on, though, which is strong.
He's communicating.
Very, very safe. David Culley and Nick Caserio, their tone has kind of changed on Deshaun Watson. I'm almost intrigued to hear what it's going to sound like leading up to the draft, because I'm anticipating within the next 2 weeks we're going to hear from Caserio, we're going to hear from Culley. Initially, Caserio said, we're not trading Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Then when he talked to Albert Breer, it seemed like he was more open to it. David Culley had that same stance, and then when he talked to Jim Trotter and Steve Weich, he said he's our quarterback for right now. Tone has changed. I'm intrigued to hear what those two guys would have to say leading up to the draft, because it's going to have to be a question that they're going to have to answer about Deshaun Watson. Probably get a, we're letting the legal process play out for right now. That's just where we're at right now with Deshaun Watson. We know it's serious. We don't condone the alleged actions, but that's all we really got for you on Deshaun. That's pretty much what we're going to get, right?
No. We'll get that, but I think behind closed doors, they're trying to figure out a way to move on. I just don't see them holding on to Deshaun and everything that's going on, because everything that built up beforehand, him not wanting to be here, and then everything after the fact when we got hit with the right hook with all the allegations and everything, it's like, They inherited all this. They had nothing to do with this. And this is going to continue to be here as long as he's here. So unless they get rid of him some type of way, so to me, it's like they're trying to figure out a way, what's the best way, respectfully, to get rid of him, get the best, the most assets they can for him, and move on and try to make this franchise to get back on task.
Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez, Landry Locker with you. A firsthand account of interaction with Tony Busby. You do not want to miss this next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we had Will Hobson on earlier on today from the Washington Post talking about his time spent with Tony Busby. Some interesting stuff from that piece. Washington Post at Landry Locker on Twitter. I tweeted it out. First, Tony Busby talked about a phone call that he actually had with Rusty Harden early on in the process. Busby says he was driving to dinner. The phone rang. At the time, there were three lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson. There were four more on deck per Busby. He said he answered the phone, talked to Rusty Harden. The two exchanged pleasantries. They seemed to have respect for each other. And then Busby made an offer. Here is the quote. Per Tony Busby in the Washington Post, quote, your guy's got some kind of weird problem. alleged problem. Busby said he told Harden, this is already spiraling in a bad direction. Why don't we try to resolve this right now? Harden asked Tony Busby for a little bit more time to decide. He asked if he could decide tomorrow at 5 p.m., which Tony Busby agreed to, but he also mentioned to Harden that he tried to settle this even before Harden was hired by Watson, but he said, athletes first, Deshaun Watson's business firm made it very difficult, and he described them as arrogant, dismissive jackasses, quote, who did not take this case serious. Harden said that he was not going to comment on what was or wasn't said with Tony Busby, but he did say there were some inaccuracies in what Tony had said, but that he'd rather address them in court filings rather than an article. Busby goes on to say, most people know that when I'm involved in something, they probably want to resolve the case. But again, he goes at the Deshaun Watson camp. He says, initial conversations with Scott Gatfield of Athletes First made it very clear that they were not taking this seriously. He said he told Gatfield, quote, let me tell you how this is going to go down. I'm going to file the case. The press is going to pick it up. It's going to be a circus. He's going to have to hire Rusty Harden. And here we are, Busby said. This guy was so clueless, this guy being Scott Gatfield of Athletes First, that he didn't know how these things worked. The Post actually reached out to Gatfield and presented Busby's version of the events, and Gatfield declined to comment, referring a reporter to an earlier statement in which he said, quote, we did not think that the facts resembled that Deshaun did anything wrong with their clients. We expect this matter to be resolved in court. Now, the weird thing about this from Scott Gatfield saying he didn't think Deshaun Watson did anything wrong is that a piece of evidence was actually put out by Rusty Harden. This is not by Tony Busby, but this is the initial email exchange between the Busby firm and Scott Gatfield and Tony Busby, in which Gatfield says the following, and we've talked about this on the show before, but the Washington Post brought it up and Tony Busby brought it up as well. So I think it's relevant when we talk about the arrogant jackasses, as Tony Busby calls them, and the Athletes First camp. Quotes, we don't believe that the alleged facts, and this is from the email with Scott Gatfield, the guy who just said that Deshaun didn't do anything wrong. We don't believe that the alleged facts show that Deshaun did anything wrong. But we are nevertheless happy to continue the conversation around a reasonable settlement figure because we believe he can learn a lesson about having put himself in this situation. Gatfield wrote February 19th in an email with Watson's legal team, which was publicly released by Watson's legal team earlier this year. Your reaction to that, C?
This goes back to what we've been saying pretty much all day, how Watson really needs to evaluate who is in his corner, who is on and in his team, who he surrounds himself with. Because Rusty's not fixing this situation up just for Watson alone. He's cleaning up the mess from everything his team is saying, everything his team has done, tweeted or said or have been around or whatever, set up. And that's more work for Harden to do. And for Harden to have to put this out there as legal evidence, and when it's kind of like almost condescending to what is going on, it's like you are making more of a mess for what this guy has to do. You're not helping the case. You're not helping Deshaun in any way right now.
I've heard you say that it doesn't seem like all the information was presented to Harden by Deshaun Watson or by the camp. I've heard Attorney Sam say that. Tony Busby in this column in the Washington Post says that he doesn't feel like Rusty Harden was dealt a good hand here, and that it's a tough situation for Rusty. And when you hear or read what Mike Gatfield said in that email and then this. And then you see Brian Burney from Athletes First, you know, liking tweets, like intensely talking about these victims as gold diggers, alleged victims as gold diggers and all that type of stuff, talking about how the Watson, the Texans made this happen, liking like Charles James stuff, still going like liking just crazy stuff that is talking about victim, like the 22 alleged victims are not the real victims. The real victim is Deshaun. And Rusty Harden is saying he has told Deshaun to be quiet. If you're part of his management team, why in the hell are you liking tweets? And when you see some of the evidence that Tony Busby has put out there, and this is packets and whatnot, Tony Busby keeps mentioning the camp. And in one of the packets, he's mentioned Quincy Avery by name four times now. Quincy Avery is actually direct messaging one of the accusers saying, hey, we need to make sure that you're a real massage therapist. His girlfriend wants to know. Weird, I know, but what's your IG? It just doesn't seem like the camp is really helping Deshaun Watson, who likely put himself in a bad situation to begin with, but that's what your camp is for. Your camp is there so that they don't make the situation worse. Yeah. Any camp can sit there whenever you're getting the second heftiest quarterback contract of all time.
Yeah.
And pop some bottles with you in Miami while wearing goofy-ass red sweatpants. Shout out to Brian Burney. And riding in the Lamborghinis and doing all this stuff. Anyone can do that. But where an athlete needs to surround himself and where an athlete needs to have the camp, you need to have a camp that has your best interests in mind and has a professional outlook when it comes to this. And it just seems like they fired up Tony Busby. And their handling of the situation has made it worse for Deshaun Watson than it already was, and it was already an awful situation.
Your camp is supposed to be your backbone. Your camp is supposed to be your group of people that you trust that will hold you accountable, that will be there for you during the tough times, that will lead you to different destinations that you can't do by yourself. Your camp is supposed to be like your miniature family.
They're not supposed to be enablers.
They're not supposed to be enablers.
They're supposed to have the tough conversation with you.
They're supposed to be able to hold you accountable and say, hey, right now you tripping. Like, I don't know what's going on. Let's make sure we're getting the right path. Think about the big picture. And that's not happening right now. They're adding to the mess. They're adding to, that, like you said, enablers.
Like,
it's hurting everything.
And I think David Mulligetta is one of the best agents in the NFL. He has the partnership with Athletes First. The problem right now is anyone can support Jalen Ramsey. Like, if Jalen Ramsey's out there, Jalen Ramsey is the model client. Best at what he does.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. Appears to be a squeaky clean dude.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey is easy to support. But you look at the handling of Athletes First with a guy like Dwayne Haskins. I'll go back last year, Dwayne Haskins. Mm. There was a lot of criticism of Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins doesn't work hard. Dwayne Haskins has questionable between practice habits. Dwayne Haskins has maturity issues. Dwayne Haskins isn't picking up the system. Quincy Avery, David Mulligetta, Brian Burney, these guys were basically going on Twitter and criticizing anyone and everyone that said anything about Dwayne Haskins. They were hinting that the Washington coaching staff is racist. The race card was being played with Dwayne Haskins. Fast forward to what happened during the season. Dwayne Haskins obviously exposed himself as a guy who all these things that were being said about him were true. He's acknowledged mm-hmm. it himself. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Dwayne Haskins, just a couple years into his NFL career, is released by the Washington football team. And you know what happened? David Mulligetta and Athletes First parted ways with Dwayne Haskins. Yep. That's a kid right there that probably could have used some tough love, that probably could have been told, hey, you know what, Dwayne, we got to get this together. Instead of going on Twitter, like Brian Burney has done and liking tweets, like Quincy Avery has done many times, and just attacking and enabling, guys like Dwayne Haskins, and it's obviously different, but because different question marks for Dwayne Haskins and Deshaun Watson, but guys like that need mentorship.
Yes.
They need guys in their camps that are going to look out for them. And I think if you just look at the way that they handled Haskins and the way that they've handled Watson, they have fumbled drastically. Again, both of the guys, the quarterbacks that we just mentioned, Watson and Haskins, they deserve blame as well. but the camp is supposed to control damage. Just listen to Brian Burney. This is Brian Burney on @King_Boris's podcast. Shout out to him. This is a business manager for Deshaun Watson who has kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of shown his ass in the last month or so of the Deshaun Watson legal allegation. Just listen to this guy being asked about what exactly he does and tell me if this sounds like a guy that is going to be able to have damage control and not enable whenever an athlete like Deshaun Watson needs help.
Now we're sitting here with Brian, who's Deshaun's marketing manager, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. Brian also has a his story. It's great. He's in the trenches as well, like that real grinding, like the rat race, really grind. Brian, introduce yourself. What do you do?
How you started? What do I do? I don't even know what I do.
Where you started? Where
the lines have been so blurred.
Well, I just do.
People come to me like, oh, you do Deshaun's marketing. And I'm like, yeah. And like, oh, so what do you guys got going on? And sometimes I forget about the millions of dollars in endorsement deals, and I start talking about partnering with Saudi, we're doing this, we're doing that. And they're like, you do marketing? And I'm like, wow, kind of PR, kind of business relations, kind of be his best friend, but everything. So I've kind of blurred the marketing manager role pretty heavily.
All right, let me just say this. First of all, that's one of the worst descriptions I've ever heard.
Terrible.
And let me say this as well. There's a big difference between a good camp and a bad camp. I'm not going to list that because I'm not a PR expert. But I do know this. There's a difference between a best friend that's been there since day one and a best friend that latches on after you're already who you are.
Preach.
Rich Paul is a pioneer, and Rich Paul is one of the best brand guys, and he's a guy that guys like David Mulligetta look up to and guys like David Mulligetta strive to be like. And I think David Mulligetta is going to be one of the best agents. He already is in the NFL, so I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But this is the difference between a Rich Paul and a guy like a Brian Burney. Rich Paul grew up with LeBron James. Rich Paul knows LeBron James. They were together when literally they didn't have a dollar to their name. So when Rich Paul says, yes, I'm LeBron's business manager and I'm also his best friend, he was his best friend before LeBron James was LeBron James. When Brian Burney comes out there and says, well, part of my responsibility, I don't really know, but it's to be his best friend. You just became his best friend in the last couple years when he was Deshaun Watson, when he walked in the club and he demanded that VIP, when he could go buy a Lambo, when he was on commercials, when he had the Beats by Dre endorsements, when he was the second in line behind Patrick Mahomes. That's when you became his best friend. When you're Quincy Avery and you say, look at where we've come from. Look at where me and Deshaun Watson came from. He was 16 when you met him, bro. He had already been committed to Clemson for two seasons. I'm not saying you didn't help him and run some drills or something like that, Quincy Avery. And I'm not saying that you're not doing some good work. But for Christ's sake, the dude was 14 years old, committed to Clemson for 2 years when you met him at 16. So yeah, we all made it. Look at us, look at us. Not really. You kind of latched on to a guy who was already doing some big things for himself. And when that's the case, maybe it's just not possible for you to, at the front of mind, have that mindset that I'm going to look out for this guy 24/7 and I represent his brand. Mm. Maybe because you latched on when he was already the number one recruit and you latched on and you're his best buddy after he was already in the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why this camp, because they can't separate business from friendship and professionalism, maybe that's why Deshaun Watson just needs to evaluate and figure out this camp and how they handle things, because they've been nothing but a negative this whole time. And sometimes it's unfortunate because you do have bonds with these guys, but if you're an athlete, you just need to realize it's not about the guys that can ride with me when everything's going perfect. If this had never happened with Deshaun Watson, this wouldn't be an issue, because I can promise you Brian Burney and Quincy Avery, when it comes to front running, sign me up for that. Good Lord, let's hit the town. Everything's perfect. Let's go. Let's hit the town. But when you hit the adversity, that's when the holes in your camp, and that's when the guys that latched onto you after you've already built something, that's where they either thrive or that's where they either show themselves. And just based on everything we've heard here, everything we've read, everything we've seen, it just seems like that might be one of the problems of many.
Yeah.
And it might be, and it's definitely not at the front of the line, but one of the problems that Deshaun Watson has right now.
It seems like he's surrounded himself with, not everybody, but some of the names you mentioned, clout chasers. Seem like guys are more out for themselves right now. It seems like guys are out, yeah, I'm so-and-so with Deshaun Watson. I'm so-and-so, and I do this with Deshaun Watson, or I do this for him, and what else we do? Well, I don't know what I do, but, you know, I'm his best friend. He's trying to, this, you know, name drop here and there.
How is best friend part of your job, bro?
And you just met him.
Nothing but a hater.
Like, do you honestly think, and I want to separate Mulugeta from this, because Mulugeta is a young agent and he's doing his thing. I'm separating Mulugeta. I think Mulugeta is a beast. I think he's made some mistakes, but I'm separating Mulugeta from this. Do you think, if I went and asked Lee Steinberg, the agent for Patrick Mahomes, or I went and asked, hell, let's go Paul. If I asked Rich Paul about what he does for LeBron James, do you think he would say, I don't know? Well, being his best friend is part of my job. Hell no.
No way. No way.
Hell no.
No way.
And I don't think Mulugeta would say that either.
And to be honest, LeBron would check Rich Paul if he did it. He'll be like, hey, you're not giving off a brand that we want to be seen in the public. You're not going to, like, it's no accountability, it seems like, with certain guys in this camp. They say whatever they want, they do whatever they want, and this, oh yeah, I'm with Deshaun. And that can't be the case. He has to figure out who, he has to really sit down. I know he's at home, he's not doing much right now. He has to really sit down and figure out what and who should be in his camp and what should it look like moving forward.
Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig holding it down. 713-572-4610. Let's go to JR. JR, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
You know what? You guys are dead on, I think, with Deshaun. And I think he's being told what he wants to hear instead of what he needs to hear.
Yes, man.
And I you know, the very same guy that I think coming out of college, Deshaun, he was a good boy. But he done got some bad advice, and you know, it's funny thing about it, the Easterby guy, the same who's, I guess his title is a life coach, he's the very same guy that negotiates Deshaun's $160 million contract or whatever it was, and then now if Sean leaves that, and then he wants to start blasting Mr. Easterby, you know, because Deshaun wants to be in on who the coach is, the GM, and so on. And I think you guys hit it on the head today. And what Deshaun, I think he's got to get his head out of his rear end and quit reading the headlines about himself and get some and being told what he needs to hear instead of what he wants to hear.
There you go. I'm with you. Easterby is the exec football director of football ops, though. He should be should have been the life coach, but that ship has sailed. I just saw a change in Deshaun, like, since he signed the deal. And I don't know where it happened. I don't know when it happened. But as soon as he put that thing on Instagram that separate your circle, remove people from your inner circle that aren't trying to escape the 9-to-5, I was just like, who is this guy? Like, I'm not questioning what Deshaun Watson can do, but he's like sharing, like, you're not Steve Jobs. Like, it's not, there's nothing like, I don't know where this happened, but it is interesting with the camp, what's going on. But I think we both agree, Cecil, he needs to evaluate this camp because they've been very, very tough. 713-572-4610. Let's go around the NFL. A lot of loopholes want to get in on this. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. We'll take some calls on this. We'll also give you the latest on a Houston Texan confessing that he didn't give his best here. Give it to you next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.